Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Hello, dear Blood River Radio family. I'm so glad you can hang out. We just picked up another one of our dear Blood River Radio staff members, family members, Bitter Eugene Andrews. they're still bitter than ever, Gene Andrews. God bless you, Gene. So glad you can make it tonight, brother. I've got that schedule kind of, I grabbed a hold of General Nick Glastovic while I could. He's so hard to get a hold of. Been trying to reach him for, I guess, over a year off and on, and was able to get him. Got him on through there. Had to go through what they call the Uber conference line. Got him on. So it got a little bit out of sync with our schedule. But anyway, the Bitter Ender is with us tonight, as long as the Sister Bell Cow, a.k.a. the Bluegrass Buzzsaw, blank, like she called it, a.k.a. Bell Cow. And Sister Monica Braveheart. It was so since Bitter Ender just came back on, we'll just let him introduce himself, and we'll go back to whoever wants to talk about Dresden. This is, after all, coming up on Dresden, Dresden Week this next week. So, anyway, how you doing tonight, Bitter Ender?
Doing very, very well there, Eddie. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on the program with the two great ladies, Nancy, the super historian from Kentucky, and Monica from the great white north, eh? So
you got the lingo right there, eh?
That's the McKenzie brothers said on that.
That's right.
Oh, anyway, guys, it's great to hear y'all again, and I'll back off and let y'all finish up what you were starting on Dresden. And I know Nancy had some information for us about a Confederate general from Kentucky, Joe Shelby, and how he ties into current events today. So we'll leave that as a teaser, and y'all go ahead and finish up what you started on Dresden and the horrors that the wonderful allies that were making the world safe for democracy did to the civilian population of Dresden.
Well, Eddie, you were talking about that even the zoo animals were not spared, and you're absolutely right. I've just turned to the next page here in this book, Hellstorm, and I'll just read a little excerpt here. Meanwhile, at the great city park in the center of town, another type of rescue was in progress. So here are the terrorized people in Dresden, and they're trying to rescue these animals or help them out, which tells you something about the character of the German people, you know. Absolutely. Who are made out to be so evil and so hateful. Oh, my goodness, you know. So anyway, like everything else in Dresden, the magnificent zoo had been heavily damaged. Remembered Otto Sailor Jackson, the 60-year-old zoo inspector. He said, "The elephants gave spine-chilling screams. Their house was still standing, but an explosive bomb of terrific force had landed behind it, lifted the dome of the house, turned it around, and put it back again. The heavy iron doors had been completely bent, and the huge iron sliding doors which shut off the house from the terraces had been lifted off their hinges. When I and some of the other men managed to break into the elephant house, we found the stable empty. For a moment we stood helpless, but then the elephants told us where they were by their heart-breaking trumpeting. We rushed out to the terrace again. The baby cow elephant was lying in the narrow barrier moat on her back, her legs up to the sky. She had suffered severe stomach injuries and could not move. And a cow elephant had been flung clear across the barrier moat and the fence by some terrific blast wave and just stood there trembling. We had no choice then but to leave those animals to their fate for the moment." Then in other areas of the zoo, cages had been blown open. A little bit fast forward here, this other man, the zookeeper, to the old man's horror, he saw that the little terrified animal reached to him for help. This was this monkey in this other part of the park. And then he says, to his horror, the monkey had only bloody stumps for arms. Drawing his pistol, Sailor Jackson, he sadly put the poor creature out of its misery. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I just brought that in because you were talking about the zoo and the animals there. And so this horror was going on. And I think, Nancy, you were saying in the break there about people running to the river, but they couldn't put themselves out. They couldn't put their burning bodies out in the river. Mm-hmm. Because
I guess that's an American invention. That napalm or white salt, white phosphorus, which is horrible, and that those people experienced it, trying to get to put the fire out that was on their body, and they couldn't put it out even in deep water.
Right. And anyway, so after this first horror, this horrific bombing, there was a pause, and maybe, Gene, you probably know, because I know you're very good on history, but I think there were three waves of bombing. The first was to blow the roofs off and really, like, just blow everything up, right? And then the second wave,
That was the result of these concussion bombs, or these bombs explosions, and the force that went out when these bombs would go off. And you could have a timer set on that to have it explode in the air over the buildings rather than hit the ground and explode. When a artillery shell, mortar shell, bomb, something like that hits and goes into the ground, it blows up in kind of a cone, a reverse cone shape, with the smallest part where it hit the ground and then spreading out from there. But if it explodes in the air, it goes out 360 degrees all over. So that's what they were trying to do. And the purpose of that coming in first was to damage as much property and cause as many casualties as possible and get all the first responders, the fire and the medical people, out in the streets and go into these different places that had been hit and trying to rescue these people and get them out from under these buildings that collapsed on them, get all those people out. And then the next wave was just what you were talking about, the incendiary bombs, to catch everybody out in the open.
Right, and the incendiary bombs created such a firestorm that the winds became like hurricane force winds, but it was caused by the tremendous heat from these fires, and it sucked people in to the inferno. People who weren't even directly inside of the center of the city where this was happening, but it sucked people in. My mother talked about that a lot, actually. I mean, she wasn't anywhere near Dresden, but she knew all about it, what had happened there. And I never forget my mother's words. When she spoke about the war, and she didn't talk about the war very often at all, but when she did, she brought up Dresden, and she would just say, "Why Dresden? Why Dresden?" Over and over.
It was not a military target. There was no... There was nothing there like Hamburg or some of the other industrial cities or on the coast there where naval facilities may have been, or where, you know, factories manufacturing tanks or the Messerschmitts or whatever. There was nothing there, and it was overcrowded, triple or quadruple the population for the people running west to get away from the Soviet army and the horrors that they were inflicting on people. So
exactly.
They'll never know how many people were killed there, because
exactly,
the population had swollen so many times over the original population of Dresden.
Yes,
they've tried to cover that up by saying that 25,000 people died, when we know it was more likely 250,000.
Or more. That's like minimum. I would say that's minimum. That's lowballing it. I mean, there are estimates that go as high as 500,000 or 600,000. But
I've heard 650,000.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. But to give that kind of a number, it is so spitting in our faces. And I'll tell you, like, every year they do have a memorial occasion there, on the Saturday closest to the date, so I don't know if it's actually today or if it's next week, in Dresden. I'm talking about in Dresden itself. They'll have a memorial. And I mean, lots of things happen there, like Eddie, in the break, you were saying, isn't that where they didn't allow Alfred to go? Well, they they sent him home. Like, this was just in between his jail stints. And then before his first jail stint, he had been charged for something that he said there. And I was telling you also about how the people who were writing up his charges, it was for a speech he gave, and he was talking about Seife, which in German is soap, because he was talking about how, you know, the Jews accused the Germans of making soap and lampshades and... And I guess I'll come back after the break with this story.
We'll have a big lampshade sale on at Blood River Radio Store later in the month. People will be right back after this break. We got to mention something that Rich Hamlin said in here a minute ago. Be right back, folks.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
To your Blood Radio audience, we're just having a tremendous night tonight. I really enjoy it. We have all of our crew on board, except one. Of course, Rand's doing his eternal farm work. Some people have to work, and he's been working day and night. But anyway, people. Welcome back to Blood River Radio. Our Gene, the Bitter Ender, has an announcement he wants to make that our brother, our Charlottesville brother, me and Gene wrote to Charlottesville with Rich Hamlin, sent us in a little notice. So Gene, if you will, go ahead and let the audience know about this announcement we talked about.
Well, one thing we were talking about during the break was David Irving, is a brilliant author, historian. And he wrote a book on Germany's war, and it gave the facts of what happened and how they tried to negotiate a peace over and over again with the English and French, and they didn't want any part of it. And Churchill actually said he wanted a war with Germany because he didn't want Germany to be an economic rival with England. And so because David Irving printed the truth in these books, he's been attacked, sometimes physically attacked, by God's chosen people. We all know who they are. And they financially ruined him, and he wasn't able to sell his books. And he's had some severe medical problems, I think, had a stroke. And he is in a hospital in London. And all of this information just came out a couple of days ago. I was looking online at a column by Paul Craig Roberts and talking about what a wonderful historian he was. And even gave the address of this hospital to try to ask people around the world if they wanted to send in a small donation or something to try to help with his medical expenses. So you can go online at Paul Craig Roberts' column, and I believe Nancy sent it to me, that information about David Irvin and the poor situation that he's in now. So
the thing with David Irvin is that he is a brilliant man, and he really had no crow to pick actually with the Jews so much as he was a real historian, and he actually went to the Russian archives and was able to see read the archives in Russia and translate them, which nobody apparently had ever done that before.
Oh, absolutely. So he got original sources. And if you're going to write about history, that's where you need to go to get your information, not the propaganda and garbage that comes out of Washington or London or Ottawa or any place like that about what happened. Because one thing Churchill got right, he said the first casualty in war is the truth. And the winning side always boasts their wonderful accomplishments and their wonderful objectives and how great they were, and just they wear their shirt out beating themselves on the chest and talking about how good they were. But he went and got the original sources and found out what the Germans actually said, what the Soviets did. If they're war criminals, it was certainly the Red Army. And that was what got him in trouble, is telling the truth. And since we live in a situation that's like George Orwell's novel, 1984, the Ministry of Truth decides what you can and can't say, and they will actually go back and change history to make it meet what their criteria is. So George Orwell's novel is not really much of a novel today. It's more of a prediction of actual fact of the world we're living in today. So,
you know, another thing that David Irvin did, he proved that some of these POWs that were held in Russia, the Russians had recorded the documentation about who they really were, where they died, and what places they were, what gulags they were in, etc. You know, the Americans did not do that to their German POWs. They didn't do it. They didn't keep an accounting. That is why so many of these Germans who were held in the Middle Rhinelands or what various places, they didn't even keep an accounting of who they were or how they died or where they died, where they were buried, nothing. It's just disgraceful.
Well, it is. A lot of things that the wonderful Allies did is, you know, had they wound up losing the war, the Allies, the English and the British and the Americans and Canadians, Belgians, they would have all been put on trial for war crimes, as they should have been. But, you know, the winning side never gets accused of anything like that. It's always the losing side that had all the villains and did all the bad stuff, at least according to the winning side. And, well, you know, we go through that in the South. You know, we've been vilified for 160 years and lied about. And now they're tearing down all of our statues to our Southern heroes and replacing it with, I don't know, George Floyd or Martin Luther King or some other criminal activity. So that's just the way the world operates. The winning side gets to write the history books and make heroes out of their war criminals, and the losing side is automatically dubbed as war criminals and evil people and must forever suffer penance. And I'm very sympathetic to the German people and what they've had to go through since the last day of World War II. And they never let up on the German people or the German history.
And they're never going to let up on us. They're never going to let up on us. That's obvious. So, but you know, another thing, too, when we were talking about these people who were held as POWs by the Americans, the British were, even though they had actually been bombed and we had not been bombed, the British treated them more humanely than the Americans did. That's what I have read.
Yeah. Well, so many of the American servicemen were executed, even by the Americans, for raping the French women at the end of the war. And most of those that were executed were blacks. They just kind of turned them loose on the French civilian population. So
and the Italians, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway...
Yeah, so you're talking about you know, the lies and deceptions, and of course the indoctrination, and I just have this little short story to illustrate how the German people have been so indoctrinated that all the system followers, and so the people who are just carrying out the orders and whatnot, they know nothing. Here's an example. So I was just starting to tell this story before the last break about Alfred being charged. And actually, I think that this might have been one of the other occasions that he was charged for a speech, perhaps at when they were memorializing the Rhine Meadows, those camps. And you have mentioned those also. So he was charged for talking about the soap and lampshades and shrunken heads. But in German, the word for soap is Seife. So they were putting the transcript of the forbidden words onto paper. And on paper, they said Seide with a D, not an F. And Seide means silk. So Alfred was being charged with saying that, you know, the Germans were being accused of turning Jews into silk, not soap.
You can't take a turn a silk purse into a, you can't make a sow's ear. You can't turn a sow's ear into a silk purse. Not even Germans could do that.
Know, but they just the point is that these system followers know nothing. They don't even know enough to know that this. Even they wrote the speech wrong, like they transcribed the speech wrong from the audio. It was just crazy. So anyway, that's the result of all the lies and deceptions and indoctrination. So the Germans are suffering under this guilt cult, which has brought them down to their knees. And we've had occasion over the last while here where there was, I don't know, I think a million protesters in the streets in Germany. And these were left-wing protesters, or it's just the normies and the zombies protesting against those who are talking about re-migration. In other words, that some of these illegals who have been flooding the country should go back home. And then you've got these German people who are so guilt-ridden that they are out in the streets by the hundreds of thousands, if not million, protesting against those people who are trying to save their country from being utterly destroyed. Come to. It's just, oh my goodness, like how do we counter this indoctrination? I guess by doing exactly what we're doing right now, but yeah,
you know,
okay.
My brother told me something I had never heard about. He said, with reference to all the protests that's going on in Germany with farmers, he said part of it has to do with the grain is coming from Ukraine. That's what he said. I had no idea.
Oh, wow. These are different protests than what I was just talking about, but that's interesting. So what? Who's protesting what there in terms of the farmers?
He said the farmers in Germany are protesting the fact that all of this grain is coming into their country and coming into Germany from Ukraine. I don't even know how they can do any growing of wheat in Ukraine with all the bombing that's going on, but that's what he seemed to think.
Wow, that's very interesting. I hadn't heard that, Nancy. Wow.
So I have a quick question for Monica.
Yeah.
Monica, you know, you're of German descent. Did none of the people, the adults that lived through World War II, did they not tell their children what actually happened, how the Germans were just treated so horribly and murdered and mutilated and raped? Where are these newbies? Why are they so warped? Why do they not know what actually happened? Why was the true story not passed along to the children and the grandchildren? Shut up after that.
There's many layers to this, Eddie. First of all, they didn't really ramp up this Holocaust propaganda until the 70s. And that's exactly because of what you just alluded to, memory, right? It was too fresh. Okay, and I guess we'll come back to this after this break, and we'll talk about that. Yeah.
We'll go right back to you as soon as we come back. Be right back, folks.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, Pursuing Liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. The White House rejects the special counsel's report, which details specific issues with Joe Biden's memory. At Friday's daily briefing, White House counsel spokesman Ian Sams says Robert Herr should not have said the president is an elderly man with a poor memory.
We just reject that this is true. And I think that it does raise questions about the gratuitousness, and it raises, you know, makes you wonder why that's in there.
Now, at an event at the White House Friday, Vice President Kamala Harris weighing in on all this.
The way that the president's demeanor in that report was characterized could not be more wrong on the facts and clearly politically motivated.
In other news, folks across the United States busy shopping for Super Bowl snacks, stuff to put on the grill, chip and dip, and plenty of beverages. And while the game is in play, there's been plenty of prep to keep everyone inside the stadium in Las Vegas safe. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Our priority is the safety and security of everyone in attendance, and that is what we are focused upon. And when there's an additional celebrity who will bring more attention, we are already at a heightened state of vigilance and fulfilling our responsibility just as we do every single day.
And Mayorkas says, as of this writing,
there are no known credible specific threats to the Super Bowl or to Las Vegas at this time.
In entertainment news, The Daily Show will welcome back a familiar face next week as Jon Stewart returns to host the Comedy Central show on Monday nights starting February 12th. Stewart, the former host, will take over the desk through the 2024 election. Now, since Trevor Noah's departure in December of 2022, The Daily Show has been featuring guest hosts. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Attention timeshare owners. Tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed fee legal solution in the country with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-875-1853. 800-875-1853. That's 800-875-1853.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to go right back to our people because I got to get out of the way because time is so precious. I forgot where we were. Go ahead, Sister Monica. We'll go with you.
Yeah, you had asked this really, really important question, Eddie. You asked this very important question. Why didn't the older people tell the younger people the truth about it in Germany, what actually happened? I am sure many of them did. Many of them did, but the kids were in school learning new stuff. But like I say, they didn't really ramp up this indoctrination about the Holocaust until a little bit later because they couldn't do it right away because things were too fresh. But let me tell you something. After the end of the war and the Germans were absolutely flattened and traumatized, in terms of setting a new paradigm in and a shift in people's thinking and in their brains, that's the time to do it. And that's exactly what happened. And as just a concrete example, in the Auschwitz area, the villagers were filed past these displays of the soap and lampshades and shrunken heads, and they were forced to walk past these displays, and they're being told, this is what your people did, this is what your people did. And of course, everybody's traumatized, maximum trauma. So you had mentioned in the break there, it's like MI6 mind control, like trauma-based mind control is what has happened to the German people. And really to them, more than any of us, we've all been programmed and mind controlled too, with the indoctrination and the lies, but they got it the most because they are at the center, they were at the target. The Germans were the target population to exterminate for the eternal enemy of humanity. And then, okay, so the generations go on, and here's another thing. Homeschooling was not an option in Germany. Everybody had to go to school. Everybody had to go to school. In fact, I've heard of, German refugees, like homeschool refugees, because if they really wanted
excellent
to homeschool,
point.
Their... Yeah, so they had to go to school, and now I know why. When we were kids and we heard about that from our cousins, that there was no such thing as homeschooling in Germany, we thought, wow, that's really weird. I mean, we ourselves weren't being homeschooled either, but we still thought that was really weird. They have to go to school, like they can't homeschool. And now I know why. It's because these are indoctrination centers for the children, and they had to do this to, reprogram and re-educate the children, and generation after generation. And, that quote by Sefton Delmer, I think I read it out last week on the show, Sefton Delmer, who says, atrocity propaganda is how we won the war, and we are only just beginning with it now. We'll escalate it. And until, the victims will be groveling at the feet of the victors, not reluctantly, but eagerly, how to please the victors, and soiling their own nests. Well, you look at what's going on in Germany and what I just said about those protesters. The protesters are basically protesting against people who actually want to save their country. And they are out there in the hundreds of thousands actually doing the clarion call, yeah, destroy us, come and replace us, bring in the invading armies. And the reason is because of the Holocaust story, because they have been told, never again, this is this mantra in German, it's nie wieder, so solidly drummed into their every cell of their body that if they so much as think about keeping back these hordes that are at the borders that they absolutely must take care of, because these poor people, they're being oppressed by us. well, we have to let them in, because if we even dare to think that, no, this is not good for us, we're being replaced and, you know, we're being destroyed, well, then that attitude, that way of thinking is going to lead to the next Holocaust. That's what it's going to lead to. You see, so it's trauma-based mind control and this guilt cult, and this is what we have to counter. And, I mean, there are a lot of people, even in Germany, who are starting to learn, and they are waking up. But, my goodness, that's a big job.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we'll ever get the American sheeple to wake up and realize how much we're being lied to and beaten over the head with getting us suckered into another war in the Middle East and have American boys crippled and maimed and killed because of our government and the lies and propaganda that we're being fed today about this going on in Palestine and Gaza and what our military equipment is doing to the civilian population over there. But, you know, the same thing happens over and over again. And I bring a lot of this back, and my sympathy for the German people to a tremendous extent is because I'm a Southerner. And we've seen the same thing happen to us. We've been attacked verbally and in the news and the media and the movies and everything for 160 years because we dared stand up against the Lincoln dictatorship and said, we're not living under that. You violated our Constitution. You've created a dictatorship with the Northeast bankers, and we're out of here. We're leaving. We didn't attack the United States and attack Washington, D.C. until they attacked us. And then because we stood up for what the Constitution of the United States originally said in 1787, then we've been painted as the villains. We've been painted as the murderers of the prisoners of war down at Andersonville. We've been painted as the evil people that hated all the black people and did everything we could to destroy them. And they couldn't get away with it in the 1800s and early 1900s because too many of the veterans were still alive. But as each new generation comes along, they're taught, just like you said, that each new generation is taught this propaganda and how all their ancestors were evil and they were horrible people and we need to destroy their history and rewrite the history and tear down their monuments and desecrate and vandalize the graves where these people were. And that's what these next two generations after the veterans died out, that's all they've been hearing. So I can sympathize with the German people. I know what they're going through because we've gone through it and are going through it right now in the South and having to put up with that. So, Monica, I understand exactly what you're saying of what happened to the German people, because now so many of the Southern people have gotten this garbage in because they went to what government-run schools, public schools, and I can't say that a lot of the private schools are any better. They've all bought into it.
That's
why basically I got out of the education. This was way back in the 80s, and I just saw the handwriting on the wall, and I said, you know, I'm not teaching a lie. That's not going to happen. And
good for you.
I knew my days were numbered. I was going to get fired anyway.
Well, and there you go. That's right.
Not you.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. I'd have a lot of the football players in class, and I'd say, well, now this is what the book says. And then they'd always go, okay, Coach A, what really happened? I'd go, okay, this is what really went down. And I said, it happened right over there on Franklin Road, about a half a mile from where we're standing today. This is what happened.
Wow.
So, you know, that's
well, I had one teacher who really tried to indicate to us that maybe there's something wrong with this when he kept telling us, well, you know, the victors write the history books. And that was the social studies teacher who was tasked with teaching us about the horrible things that the Nazis did to the Jews and about the lampshades and all that stuff. And then he would pepper that with, well, the victors write the history books, you know, the victors write the history books.
Oh, yeah, that is. Well, I mean, during the war, our officers in the Confederate Army said what was going to happen. Robert E. Lee, Army Northern Virginia, said if those people, referring to the Yankees, he was a lot more of a gentleman than I was. I'd use different kind of language. But he said, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. And that's exactly what happened. And Irish Confederate General Patrick Claiborne, that was killed right down the road from where we live at Franklin, in November of 64. He said, if we lose this war, our children will be taught by Northern school teachers. They will be taught to hate our veterans, hate the cause we fought for, and make fun of and derision our maimed and crippled veterans. And that's exactly what has happened.
Isn't so it, though? And the flags, yeah. You know, you're talking about that you commiserate, the Southerners can commiserate with the Germans, and it's so true. And you just look at the symbolism of the flags, the swastika flag and the Confederate flag are equally evil in the eyes of these.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're banned. They're banned. Yeah.
They're banned, and they're made out to be so evil. And look what happened with, they were like provocateur, agent provocateur in Ottawa during the truckers' convoy. Oh, there's somebody with a Nazi flag and a Confederate flag.
Yeah, that's going to be the end of everything in Canada. It'd just destroy the whole country with that there. Yeah.
People, we got to go to another quick break. When we come back, I'm going to put the call out and see if we can get a psychiatrist on the radio to tell us how we can go and deprogram our young people. Be right back, folks.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare, the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, all you Blood River Radio family members out there, unfortunately, this is the last segment. My Lord, where does it go? How does it go so fast? Anyway, we'll go right back. Once again, my old brain, I forgot where he was. I guess we'll go back to the bitter ender.
No, we're going with Monica and explaining a lot of the things that have happened in this massive psychological warfare to beat down the memory of the German people and beat down the memory of the Southern people, and convince them that their ancestors were all terrible, horrible people and did all of these horrible things. And then people like David Irvin that print the facts, or people like Shelby Foote or, Donnie and Ronnie Kennedy or Mike Grissom, or people that come out with books that tell the facts, they're just vilified. Mike Grissom has had a lot of trouble getting his books published and shipped by Amazon, because they tell the truth about Southern history. And so the censorship that we have in this country frowns on people that tell the truth. And we brag about, oh, you know, we such a great democracy, and we stand for truth and justice in the American way. Or I think that's what Superman said or something like that. Anyway, whatever they had on that old Superman program on TV. But that's not true anymore. Censorship and political correctness has taken over. And so, you know, just like David Irvin, our authors that are trying to tell the truth about what happened in our war for Southern independence, they are vilified and they're put off the list, and they won't, these large companies won't print their books or ship them and things like that. And they have to get smaller operations to try to get the truth out. So it's tremendous psychological warfare, reprogramming, and it all goes back to the Frankfurt School in Germany in the 1930s. And Chancellor Hitler was smart enough to kick them out of Germany. And they wound up at NYU in New York and brought all that communist Bolshevik nonsense over here. And then another group split off from that and went out to California. And where else did they wind up but University of California at Berkeley, and started it over again on the left coast. And you can laugh about it, but they were tremendously successful for their long march through the institutions. And just what Monica was talking about, taking over, first of all, the colleges and getting these education professors and training students in the Department of Education and History and Social Studies, and then sending them out to spread the word, and then making sure that the department heads in these universities never, ever hired anybody that would possibly give a contradiction to the propaganda that they were putting out. So yeah. If you go to college and get your diploma for one of these diploma mills, which is nothing more than an indoctrination center, maybe you might get a real diploma in engineering or medicine or something like that, but all the rest of it is just garbage that they dump on these young people and fill their heads full of mush. That's the last two or three generations that have come through that. So, of course, they go out and they got their little degree in education, and education in quotes, and they teach teenagers and even down in grade school level this politically correct garbage. So they're marched through the institutions when they control the universities, they control the media, they control the entertainment industry. They have won a tremendous victory. It's taken longer than a violent revolution in the streets, but it's been much, much more effective, and it hadn't cost as many lives per se to indoctrinate all these younger people, and they indoctrinate the next generation. And now in this country, we have it run by basically a communist government in Washington. With all these bureaucracies, and they turn the FBI into the, federal police force, like the Soviet secret police, and go out and attack, political enemies. So they've been very successful at it. And, what saved Germany initially was the Chancellor of Germany, Mr. Hitler, realized that most of these people in this Frankfurt School and the garbage they were promoting, they were Bolsheviks and Jews, and he got them out of the country. Unfortunately, they landed over here, but, at least he knew what he was doing. So that's where this through the institutions came from.
Yeah, that was such a brilliant summary of where we're at, Gene. And there were so many aspects of this psychological warfare. And one of the aspects, and I guess this comes out of the thinking of the Frankfurt School and Tavistock Institute is another one, is this concept of the generation gap. So that at this same time that the history is being taught all wrong to the youngsters, they've also got this notion instilled into them through the popular culture of a generation gap. Well, so we all grew up thinking that's just a natural, normal thing. Well, no, I don't think so. Young people used to revere and respect their parents and elders. And then during these times of generation gap, it's sort of a false, artificial concept that's foisted on us with the counterculture and the 60s, the, you know, all the stuff that was going on, that was not organic, an organic movement. That was created. And
absolutely.
So that would have, yeah, it would have
absolutely
added to the youngsters not believing their parents when their parents are trying to tell them, like you were asking, Eddie, well, didn't they
yes
try to tell their kids? Like, so this is all going on at the same time. They really went at it at multiple levels. But, you know, we were saying, okay, so how do we counter this false indoctrination? How do we fix this? I know our technician here on the soundboard had an excellent idea in the break. But...
yes, he did.
Now our audience is
well,
curious.
No, 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 we can't have that. We might get kicked off the air for saying that. We have to be respectful of our audience. So, a good idea. A good idea,
yes.
But you got to be careful saying that on the open mic. So.
Now everybody's really curious. I think you better tell.
but, you know, this was we talk about the long march through the institutions. And they say, well, okay, I could understand how that could happen if they could take over, get worthless politicians in place. Well, that's kind of being redundant in saying worthless politicians,
yes,
worthless and politicians. You're saying the same thing twice.
Yes.
But anyway, that and the institutions of learning and the media, but it traveled out even further than that. You know, you were talking about that, the generation gap, and how the music of the 60s and the drug culture and pitted the people my age, teenagers and early 20s. And, of course, the big saying was then, don't trust anybody over 30.
Yes,
and,
it was.
You know, it was like, our generation against these old evil people that had segregation laws. And, you know, they had the big demonstrations and sit-ins here in Nashville about getting the lunch counters at the department stores integrated. Well, they got it. They finally passed that. They couldn't have a separate section for blacks and whites. They got that thrown open, and then the blacks have destroyed, they did destroy the businesses in downtown Nashville from their conduct and the way they conducted themselves. White people wouldn't go downtown. And so, you know, they had all of these results from this separation between the younger and the older generation, between driving a wedge between the whites and the blacks, and anybody that resisted these new theories, these new concepts in culture and that sort of thing, they were automatically branded as reactionaries. If you don't like the rock and roll music and the drug culture, you're a racist. If you don't throw open the whole society to people that haven't earned anything and should take over just because of the color of their skin. And people warned us about that, that was going to happen, and they were ignored or they were banished from the news media. But once you control the news media and the entertainment industry and feed the people lies and lies and lies constantly, then that's what's going to happen to you. So we're living with the effects of that now and seeing the destruction of not only... I know you've talked about this in Canada, Monica, but what's going on in this country as well, and the destruction of our culture and our history and our heritage and our religious affiliations and our religious beliefs. Our minister's always talking about how the churches have changed so much, and they get away from preaching the gospel and what the Bible actually says.
Yes.
And to, you know, just have, like Rush Limbaugh called it, good time rock and roll religion. So, and that's... You know, that's what's happened gradually from one generation to another. It keeps going further and further downhill.
I guess it comes full circle to what General Nick Glasnovic talked about, is naming the enemy, recognizing, seeing, and being able to name who is doing this to us is critical. And
yeah,
and all these, and then connecting all these dots. Like, this has been quite a lesson in... How did we get to where we are now, you know, and this psychological warfare?
Monica, you were talking about how we're going to change this. Mm-hmm. If you stand up to it, the people that stand up to it are going to have to have a stiff backbone. And they're going to have to ignore being called a racist or a reactionary or a religious fanatic. Going to have some courage.
Well, I think we have a stiff backbone here, all the Blood River Radio crew. And it looks like, folks, here's the reason we've come to a complete end. I thank you two tonight, Monica and Peter Ender. I think y'all have torn it up. If you've absolutely done it. And next week, we'll come back and try to get back on our regular schedule. Hopefully next week, maybe we can cover the border in depth. Maybe I kind of forgot us off schedule, but getting the general on, but it was a once in a yearly chance. Anyway, dear Blood River Radio audience, listeners, family, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Monica and Nancy. See y'all same time, same place next week, God willing. Good night, everybody.